summertime here in August at Mount Calvary, and God has just been good to us. Friday night, the concert, that was the largest crowd we've ever had for an August concert. Usually in August, people vacation, and, you know, we prepared for a little smaller group and all like that. Some people had gone down and got their hair done, didn't even show up for the concert Friday night, so we didn't expect that all the ones would be here. And doors opened, and people started coming in, and we were packed, and we had chairs down the aisle, and God was just good, and people, when they walked out, just had felt a touch from God. Here on our Sunday services, a Wednesday service, God has just met our every need. We're just so fortunate to be in a place where you can be yourself. You can feel something. I don't ever want to be in a place where I can't feel something. We may not get all the intros right to the songs. We may have our ushers saluting before they take up offerings. I don't know. I may have absolutely no control, which is pretty obvious most of the time. But I tell you, folks, I feel something. I feel something when I come into God's house. And I know a lot of the challenges that people face in their lives. I know the things that they're struggling with. I know relationships that just are difficult. I know health issues that abound. I know that challenges. So when you can come into God's house and you can feel something, when you can, within your heart of hearts, we need a bottle of water over there, Jill. Okay. Thank you, Rick. When you can feel something, when you can know that people who don't have it all right and who make mistakes and who face the challenges will be caring enough to share with you your burdens. He's a handsome guy, and now Warren is more like that. He's just... He can stand up and see everybody. That's the good thing over there. I love it. Makes you feel like exactly where you ought to be. And I just want to start out by thanking you for allowing us to have the freedom to worship the way that I think worship ought to take place. I think during prayer request time, you ought to just speak from your heart. I was always impressed with a great evangelist one time that I got to meet and know. And he'd always start off his prayer by saying, "Daddy God. Daddy God." And he would start to just share the things that were on his heart. I don't know what it's like to believe in a religion that is just a set of rules. Very cold, very follow A, B, C, D. I want that personal relationship. I want to feel within my heart that the Almighty God sent His Son to die upon a cross. Today, I'm just going to read you one verse. It's not the one in the bulletin, and I know that's not going to surprise you if you've been here more than once. In the book of Revelations, in the first chapter, there's a verse that I think is just so precious. The last part of the fifth verse and into the sixth verse, it reads, "To him who loved us, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, to him who loved us and washed us in his own blood and has made us. This is a thing that people don't get sometimes. Has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Heavenly Father, add a special blessing under the reading of your word today. Prepare our hearts for that you'd have us to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks be unto God for what he did. I have in my office a picture of professional golfer. In my opinion, had one of the greatest swings of all time. His name was Payne Stewart. I don't know if you know the story or not. Payne Stewart won the U.S. Open, and sadly, only a few months after that, as they were preparing to go and play in a tournament called the Players' Championship, the plane that he was in, they surmised that it lost cabin pressure. As the plane was traveling right up through the middle of the country, there could be no radio contact. And they send up fighter jets, and they looked, and all they could see was the windshield of the plane iced over from the inside. The discussion was taking place of whether or not to shoot that plane down. When all this was going on and the news was being presented, and thanks be to God for the family, the plane actually just ran out of fuel and crashed in a field. And this man, who had had such a wonderful professional career, but even more importantly, had exhibited in his life wonderful growth. He started out as a fellow who was pretty much egotistical, self-consumed. And as he turned to the things that he learned in his youth, God got a hold of him and just started to work. And at his memorial service, so many other golfers and people that knew him commented about what a changed man he was. And out of that wreckage of the plane, his widow, she kept all the little items that they could retrieve, things were not destroyed. And in that, there's a little bracelet. And on that bracelet were these four letters, WWJD. As all of you know, during that time, there was a big movement about what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? And I believe that in the day we live in, we still have that question in our mind, what would Jesus do? How would he handle and react to so many of the challenges we face in our society, in our personal lives? I believe there's more information out there, more scripture online, more items of help. But you got to get a hold of them. And you have to apply them to your life. I was a fan of his, and that's why I have the picture in the office. Right under it has that bracelet. Not that bracelet, but one just like it. Because we always come back to that question, is what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? There was a speaker. He was in a men's conference, and he was trying to motivate these gentlemen to go out and to evangelize and get them all excited and all. And he talked about opportunities and in the big city they're in. He said, well, you have opportunities every day. He said, what happens when you get on an elevator? And if you'll know an elevator, everybody gets on the elevator, they all face the same direction and pretty much stare at the buttons. Right? And he says, except your name is Tony Campolo. Now, Tony Campolo was a great, great evangelist, preacher, taught up in Penn State, and he was just fabulous. And what he did one day, he said, I'm going to do it different. So he turned and faced everyone in the elevator and started to lead them in a chorus of, you are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away. Now, after not locking him up, he said it was amazed about the look on the faces. So this speaker, he said, and he threw out the question, what would Jesus say if he was on an elevator? Hand popped up from the back. And he says, what's your answer? And he says, I know exactly what Jesus would say. He'd say, going up? Good answer. Good answer. We got a lot of people that are going through lives like they're in an elevator. A lot of people that are just kind of a little numb by everything that they hear, all the stuff that is out there. And some of them just simply need to be asked the question, going up, going up. I believe that you have a challenge, and the greatest challenge of all. I believe that God sent his Son to die upon a cross for you. I think you need to make a choice. And once you've made that choice, you've accepted him, I think you need to live your life in service to others. There's no greater calling. There's no greater challenge. But at the same time, there is no greater fulfillment when we come to the wisdom and the knowledge of why we have been placed here. And that's to be used for his glory. This scripture, it talks about God Almighty. And I love the way this scripture starts, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Folks, you've got it. You've got the greatest gift that has ever been given. And I love when people start to share that joy. When they start to share the things that God is doing for them in their lives. I rode down this little road here on Burnett Street yesterday. Burnett, what's the name of the thing? Burnett. It's on page 430 or 320 or 4230. I don't know what. I had one of the fellows work with me in a truck, and we were going by, and I looked over, and I said, oh, my goodness. There was a gentleman sitting out on the porch. His feet were up. The book was open. I wasn't close enough to see if his eyes were open or not. But I whipped in, and I got, and I said, Roger, I'm going to show you. I am going to prove to you. You're going to see the greatest illustration of what the life is like. So as old Dave got up off that chair, and we just sit there, I said, don't get up. We just want to come over here and sit with you. We just want to sit down. And we just had a few minutes there, and we just kind of shared a little bit on that. We talked about flowers, and we talked about the weather. And he tried to talk about Marshall, as he always done, but I said, Matt will be back, don't worry. And God was in the midst of it. God was in the midst of it. You don't have to go with an agenda. You don't have to go with a plan. You don't have to formulate all the things that you're going to do and say. All you got to do is be in tune to God's will. All you got to do is be ready. All you have to know within your heart of hearts what He has done for you. And be willing to share, truthfully, honestly, all the struggles, all the challenges. Sure, we've all got them. And there are going to be times that God will just bring somebody into your life that's going to allow you to share some of your difficulties and troubles. And God's just going to make it all right. But I believe that the biggest question that we can share of all is going up, going up. That is our 17-minute sermon today. I hope that during this time when things are kind of busy and you're kind of tying up ends for the summertime and getting your last vacation in and getting students ready to travel off and getting things ready for the fall of the year and all, just remember, what would Jesus do? And share what He has done for you. Heavenly Father, we have come into Your house. We have sung the songs about the Master. We have felt laughter. We have felt joy. We've been amazed by the many praises that we heard today. And God, our hearts have been touched and moved by the prayer request. God, we feel that the unrest and that goes on, the challenges that this country faces, I believe that the religious leaders need to stand up and speak the truth. I believe that You have called us to be a separate people. I think that You have set a standard for us. And God, I think we ought to just try to live the way we should, by encouraging others, being warm, compassionate, being forgiven, being willing to just say, brother, sister, I don't know what you're going through, but I'll tell you one thing. I'm here to support you and show you the love of God. I believe the greatest challenge that we as Christians face is to prove that statement. They will know we are Christians by our love. So set the standard of love, God, and make us toe the line. We love You, and we thank You for what You're doing in each of our lives today. Give us safe traveling mercies as we leave this building, and be Your will, bring us back again so that we can sing praises unto Your name. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. All God's